They're playing basketball. Welcome back to the Pick and Slip, where we pick our favorite NBA topic and slip them into your life. Follow us on Twitter at Pick and Slip Show.
Boom, boom.
And listen to all of our episodes on Spotify. Just look up Pick and Slip.
Search it up. And what is going on, everybody? It's Gavin back here with Braden on this wonderful Thursday afternoon. And we're going to talk about, obviously, more basketball. I mean, that's what we do around here.
Yes, you know, that is what we do.
That's what we do.
We missed a week last week, spring break. Oh, Woj bomb just happened right now. NBA has suspended Toronto's Fred VanVleet and DeAndre Bembry. One game for roles in an on-court altercation versus the Lakers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, starting off with a Woj bomb right off the bat. We were waiting for that just, last week? We were waiting the entire show for those, and I feel like nothing happened.
That was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
But, yeah, we still got a good amount. Last week, you guys can go ahead and check that out, or 2 weeks ago. Last show, you can go ahead and check that out. That was our trade deadline special. Trade deadline was during our show, so we got quite a bit of news coming in during that, including the Aaron Gordon to the Nuggets trade.
Yeah.
That happened during the show. Afterwards, Victor Oladipo got traded, as well as a couple other pieces got moved. It was the most active deadline in NBA history. But also, not too much happened, because if you think about it, like, the blockbuster trade for the season already happened in James Harden to the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
And you usually get, and also, like, Russell Westbrook to the Wizards happened in the offseason. We did get a fairly, a big, like, trade debt, or, like, this season there were a lot of trades, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
A lot of big trades.
Yeah. And, you know, resulting of those trades, a lot of mix of different players going to different teams, seeing how those players are going to fit in with different teams. We're going to go ahead and talk about a few of the players that were traded and the type of impact that they're having on their new teams. If we want to go ahead and start off, I have Aaron Gordon real quick. We can start off with Aaron Gordon. Obviously, Aaron Gordon got traded to the Nuggets from the Magic.
He looks really good.
He does look a lot better. I feel like he looks a lot better on the Nuggets than he did on the Magic. Obviously, he wanted to be more of a contending team.
He is the perfect fit next to Jokic.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Having a cutter like that, mm-hmm. that's, they are perfect next to each other.
I agree. I totally agree. I feel like everyone knows, I mean, Jokic has to be the greatest passing big man of all time.
Yeah.
Then when you have a player like Aaron Gordon, not only Aaron Gordon, you know, not just cutting to the rim, he can shoot a little bit, you know, Aaron Gordon, not the worst, you know, he can space the floor.
He's just an offensive stuff overall.
He can space the floor. So if Jokic needs to kick out, perhaps, you know, a lot of times Jokic is also a ball handler a lot, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
Or, like I said, a cutting Aaron Gordon, maybe throws an oop or throws a little pass to him for the dunk. But a lot of, gives a lot more versatility offensively for the Nuggets having Aaron Gordon out on the floor.
Yeah, definitely. And then Victor Oladipo went to the Heat. That was kind of big. Victor Oladipo is not all that useful. He was playing good defense in the couple games that he's played so far, but his offense has been lackluster. Last time I checked, he was only averaging like 12 points since he joined the Heat, and that was on like three or four games, so it wasn't like huge sample size, but obviously not what they wanted from him. But, I mean, that's where he wanted to go. The way that he got there, I'm not sure I entirely approve of. It seems like he kind of, I don't know. At least he played basketball on both the teams that he left, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't as if he did like a James Harden and refused to play.
Real fast, one last thing about Aaron Gordon. Real fast, I'm going to go ahead and go over his stats. Since he's been traded to the Denver Nuggets, on the Nuggets, he is averaging around 12.5 points per game. And then he is also averaging around about only one turnover a game, three assists, a steal, three boards, or around four boards. We'll round up to four boards. So just, you know, not stats that you would see. You know, if you saw it, it would be like, oh man, Aaron Gordon,
doing his role finally.
Yeah, exactly. He's just really doing what he's there to do. I mean, he's doing a great job at putting another 12 points up on the scoreboard around that every game. Just a few nights ago, we had a 24-point game performance. It was followed by two 9-point performances, but nonetheless, you know.
Yeah.
He's just playing his role.
I mean, that's what he's here to do, is to be that cutter for them. And he's been doing that perfectly. Also, other big thing that happened, LaMarcus Aldridge got a buyout from the Spurs and joined the Nets.
Yeah.
He didn't change jersey colors. Stayed with the black and white. but I think that that's ridiculous. I think that the fact that four of their starting five are former All-Star, or, well, really, I mean, you could go as far as to say that five of their six best players left their team and joined the Nets in free agency. That is James Harden, Kyrie Irving, which they went there like the most legitimate, and DeAndre Jordan went there like the most legitimately, where they just signed in free agents. But then Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge left their teams to join the Nets. James Harden refused to play for any other team but the Nets.
Blake Griffin had the entire Pistons franchise fooled.
Duped.
Like, I mean,
bamboozled.
What? How long did it take him to? I mean,
he hadn't dunked in a year and a half.
And he just came out, and now he's dunking heads. Every single game. It feels like every single game you see at least
hitting
one
25-foot
Blake Griffin dunk. You know, yeah, he had a buzzer beater three. And I mean, wow. I mean, a lot of people, he really like fooled a lot of people into thinking that he was washed as a player.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought that Blake Griffin was completely washed. I mean, how old is Blake Griffin? Around like early 30s? 31, 32? He's around there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Blake Griffin, yeah, I think 32, that's my...
He's 31 or 32. And he just, like, I just saw earlier today, I believe it was last night's game, he got the ball against the Pelicans, one-handed dunk, second he touched the ball, dribbles up, one-handed dunk, kind of looked like a Clippers dunk, right?
Right.
And, I mean, like, if Lonzo was right underneath the basket, Lonzo ran away. Lonzo wanted no part with that. And so it's kind of crazy to me. Like, I don't agree with something like that, you know? Like, I don't want to play for the Pistons anymore, so I'm just basically going to hide what I'm capable of doing.
Right. And, like, here's the thing, is that, like, you can feel free to request a trade or to do whatever you want, but when you're not giving it your all on the court, that's when it starts to feel kind of scummy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that now, like, with LaMarcus Aldridge leaving as well, that now the Nets have started to, like, abuse the player empowerment era in a way that we've never seen before. And that at this point, the Nets are going to ruin it for the rest of the league to the point where the league's going to have to step in and make some sort of rules against doing this.
I still can't believe, like, when I see...
Sorry, especially if they win a ring. If they win a ring this season, then the NBA is going to start doing stuff.
When I see something like this, like how the Brooklyn Nets have James Harden running the one, Kyrie at the two, KD, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, right?
Yeah.
When I see it, more specifically, we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets here. When I see a team like this, I always can't believe that a team like this can be formed. Like, you know, it can be allowed.
They didn't draft a single one of their top six players.
They didn't. They got them all from contract buyouts and left their team or... free agency.
Yeah.
And, or, and
the
James
only
Harden
reason
trade.
That they got, that they were the team that got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and DeAndre Jordan in the first place was because of how good they drafted and that they left a lot of cap room on the table. The Knicks did the same thing and the Knicks didn't get that same opportunity. Which also the Knicks are the Knicks and they've fumbled the bag many, many times. So they didn't, I'm glad that they didn't get Kyrie and KD because... then we'd still be having this same talk about the Knicks right now. I don't know. It seems like an abuse of power in some way.
And going back to it, like you see, like I said, you see a team like this. This not only we didn't mention the bench. You have Joe Harris coming off the bench for one, and so you look at that. You have DeAndre Jordan, and then if you go back, yes, we're on two different commissioners at this point, right?
Yeah,
Adam Silver's the one right now. It's not David Stern.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, and yeah, I know you remember the Chris Paul to the Lakers.
Yeah.
And they got vetoed, but now we have...
See, that's
now
slight...
we go into the future at this point, and now we have Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge.
When people do say that, it is kind of like a weird middle ground about the Chris Paul to the Lakers, because the Pelican, or the, was it the Pelicans at that
point? It was
the Bobcats.
Like, it was the Hornets. Because they had the, you know, blue, yellow, white.
The New Orleans Hornets, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had Charlotte Bobcats and New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay. And but so the league owned the Hornets at that point.
Yeah.
So it is a little different.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like the league has to do something about this.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I feel like the league, yes, the league did own the Hornets at that point, but does that still, you know what I mean? Like, does that really...
I'll say this. If the Nets win a championship, there is an issue in the league. If they don't, then I will say maybe the league doesn't do anything about it just yet. You know? Because... if the Nets do all of this and then it doesn't end up working, then other teams aren't going to try it as much. I feel like, at least. They're going to see what the Nets did and they're going to say, huh, maybe we need to think more about our... And then DeAndre Jordan's going to leave and James Harden's going to leave and Blake Griffin's going to leave. Like, if you think all these guys are staying past this season, you're a fool.
One thing I believe about this team is, like, real quick, Blake Griffin is only averaging 9 a game. He's only averaging 4 boards. You know, he's not... You don't see a defensive presence from Blake Griffin. He's not averaging a block a game. He's averaging 0.4. So if you look at it, he's only averaging 9 a game. So my personal opinion, and I said this before, like LaMarcus got signed, and it was just Kyrie, KD, James Harden, DeAndre Jordan, Joe Harris, and Caris LeVert was still on the team. I said this, that even without LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, I would still have the Nets winning the ring. And the reason I said that, yes, the Nets statistically were the worst defensive team in the entire league, right?
That's since changed.
Yeah, that's since changed. They're now in the middle pack, but still the best offense in the league, which they had prior before Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, still the best offensive team statistically in the league. And I predicted that they would still go out and be able to win the finals because of that, just because of that offensive firepower. I mean, I feel like you can't, you know, they do say defense wins championships, but when you have a team that's Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, right? I feel like you don't need the best defense in the league to be able to do something. I mean, like, if the opposing team you're going against has a bad night, the Nets are going to win the game. If you have a bad shooting night, the Nets are going to win the game.
Right.
And we see that a lot. We see a lot of times teams come out and they don't have good shooting performances. We've seen that with the Bucks a lot of times, you know, when the Giannis wall and then he tries to kick it out to shooters and shooters aren't having a good game, right? Then Giannis has to try and do all the work while trying to go up against the Giannis wall, where a lot of people just collapse into the paint and they can't win the game.
Yeah.
And you know, if you something like that were to happen to the Nets, where maybe, you know, they're going up against the Lakers, right? And LeBron and AD do their part, because most likely they will do their part. But Kyle Kuzma can't step up. Al Caruso can't step up. None of those surrounding supporting cast players can step up. The Nets are going to take that game.
Yeah.
You know,
but so the thing is, it's that also, like, I mean, you think about it, if KD has a bad night, which he doesn't, mm-hmm. but if he shoots 1 for 20, Kyrie Irving shoots 1 for 20, they still have James Harden, they still have Blake Griffin, they still have LaMarcus Aldridge. If KD isn't hitting his shots, Blake Griffin's hitting his. If James Harden isn't hitting his shots, Kyrie Irving's hitting his. It's just ridiculous. And then, yeah, you look at the defense. The defense could still be an issue, because I think that NBA offenses going 100% are better than the Nets defense. What is the ideal starting five for the Nets? Their best defender is Nicholas Claxton, first of all. So, I mean, that's not a good sign. But he is a good defender. But so you look at the ideal starting five for them, like if they're rolling out their best lineup, they have Kyrie, James Harden, KD, and then they're going to have maybe DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. maybe DeAndre Jordan and LaMarcus Aldridge, or LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin.
I feel like either LaMarcus Aldridge or Blake Griffin's going to have to come off the bench, because I feel like they need DeAndre Jordan to play that center role. And they'll run Blake or LaMarcus at the power forward, is what I feel like.
Even with LaMarcus at center, that's not that good. And I feel like you look at the starting five, there's a lot of talent. There's not a lot of cohesion. You look at James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. They've played, what, 7 games together, I'm pretty sure I said to you yesterday? Yeah. Not a lot. If you put them straight up right now, if all of their players are healthy, you put them against the 76ers, it's close, in my opinion, because they've, again, played 7 games together. That's not playoff experience. That's not a team that you can put in the playoffs. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have played a total of like 22 games together, and they've been on the same team for 2 seasons. They can't stay healthy, or, because, I mean, I kind of think that James Harden ankle sprain was, this is just my personal conspiracy, I feel like it's fake, because why have they only had 2 stars play at a time this entire season? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems weird to me. And they're just, James Harden in his first 8 minutes back sprained his ankle and can't play for another month. Like, what? How did that happen?
I think that, like, with that Kevin Durant injury, they could have brought him back a little bit faster than what they did, but they're not taking any chances with it with the team they have, especially with a player like Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant says, "I don't want to play in the All-Star game. I think it's dangerous." The next night, he sprains his ankle and doesn't play throughout the All-Star game. And then they sit him for another, like, 3 weeks after that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just seemed funny to me.
Comes back and shoots perfect.
Yeah.
Doesn't miss a shot.
I'm looking at LaMarcus Aldridge's basketball reference page right now. Does he have the longest stretch in between 2 All-Star seasons? He was an All-Star in 2015, and then in 2019 was the next time that he was an All-Star. Has anybody else gone through a 4-season stretch of not being an All-Star?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
He played for the Clippers? When was LaMarcus on the Clippers? Oh, I'm looking at Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't.
Okay.
I was like, I don't.
All right, yeah, so then Blake Griffin went through a 4-season stretch. Okay, that's why I was confused, because I have LaMarcus Aldridge is open, too, on a different tab. But LaMarcus Aldridge this season for the Nets is averaging 13 points. He's only played 4 games, but 13 points, rebounds, 5.3, which isn't bad, especially since he's only playing 27 minutes, so... I mean, solid production by LaMarcus Aldridge, and it's just, I think that it's the name recognition more than anything, that these guys are kind of coming to fill like an Andre Iguodala role, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
that makes sense.
LaMarcus is also, he's like 13 points a game, 4 boards, 3 assists. He's also averaging 2 blocks a game right now as well.
You grab an all-star that used to, like, that is probably going to the Hall of Fame. Blake Griffin's going to the Hall of Fame, you know? Mm-hmm. Because... first of all, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, not just NBA. And I think both of these gold guys have been Olympic gold medalists, so that helps a ton. But you look at Blake Griffin's impact on just basketball, like that dunk over the Kia, which is the stupidest dunk I've ever seen. But, I mean, still, he's just had massive cultural impact through basketball. And then LaMarcus Aldridge is just, I mean, he's what, like a 6 or 7-time All-Star? I don't really have to say much more else than that. The NBA gives more anybody that's been to the All-Star game more than 5 times a Hall of Fame spot. But, like, you're grabbing 2 Hall of Famers and putting them on the bench on a team that already has 3 All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? Next year they're going to get KD? That was a joke about how KD joined the Warriors.
I remember when that first happened. I think that Warriors team with KD is...
best team of all time.
That team, yeah, that team.
They
monstrous.
Don't have the best record, but nobody's ever beating that team.
If we're doing something about NBA teams, that team should have been demolished.
Well, the thing is that at that point they had drafted everyone on that team except for Iguodala and Livingston.
They did. They built that team from the ground up, which is that's you know.
Okay, let's look at the similarities here real quick, and just also then the differences. You take 3 really good All-Stars. Multiple-time All-Stars. You have them sign two extremely good veteran free agents and have them come off the bench, Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, or yeah. LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. And then you win three rings in 4 years.
Is this?
But here's the difference is Steph Curry is equal or better than all of the big three in Brooklyn. Klay Thompson's not as good as James Harden or Kyrie. Draymond Green's definitely not as good as them.
But the only thing I think of Draymond Green is his defense. He's going to add that. He's added that defense to the Warriors team, which is something that this Brooklyn team doesn't have.
Yeah, it's just not the same, you know.
Then Kevin Durant. He's on both teams, so.
But then you add Kevin Durant to the Warriors, that's when it starts to get out of hand. That's one all-star. The Nets did it three times.
I feel like the thing is the Nets did it three times, but then you have Kyrie and James Harden, right?
Right.
But then you have KD and Steph. Some people consider Steph to be the greatest point guard of all time.
I think he's there. I think he's there.
And then you have KD, who people argue to be the greatest scorer of all time.
Yeah.
We already know how good of a scorer Steph is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think if you put that Warriors team against this Nets team, that Warriors team is going to win. Just because it's Kevin Durant, you know. Okay. Yeah. Then you have Steph and Kyrie. Steph, as long as Steph, you know, doesn't choke in the playoffs or anything, you'd be fine. Klay, we all know Klay. Klay, not only is he a great shooter, he's also a great defender. He'll be put on James Harden, most definitely. Draymond Green is added down there for the defense. I mean, I don't think, personally, if you ask me, I don't think Blake Griffin is, I mean, he's already only dropping around 9 a game. I don't think he'll see anything crazy from Blake Griffin if Draymond Green is guarding him. I also don't think you're going to really see any points from Draymond Green in that game.
If Draymond's on Blake Griffin's dropping zero.
Yeah, I don't see Blake Griffin doing anything.
On KD. Or not Blake Griffin. They're going to put Draymond on like KD or James Harden.
Somewhere. They'll put Klay Thompson on James Harden if that
really
happens.
The thing is that the Warriors have never played straight up one-on-one defense. They're always switching everything.
Yeah.
So it's going to end up being Draymond Green guarding everybody at some point.
Probably. That would be a fun game to see. Like a fun series?
Yeah. It's just the 2017 Warriors versus the 2021 Nets.
I also think that Warriors bench would probably beat...
Oh, there's no question that...
Like, beat the Nets bench.
Yeah. Was Sean Livingston on the 2017 Warriors? Did he leave after 2016?
I don't remember.
But...
I remember when it was like Harrison Barnes on them, but then they ended up trading Barnes and doing all that.
Just the Kevon Looney, Andre Iguodala pairing, I think, was a solid bench. And they also had was Damon Lee there yet? There was a couple good players though on that bench.
Yeah.
That Jordan Bell was on that bench, I think, for a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That'd be crazy. That would be a really fun series.
Yeah, when I get a time machine, that I'm taking the 2021 Nets back to.
You're going to have two Kevin Durants playing each other?
Yeah.
On the court at once?
They're going to start, screaming at each other, like, in movies whenever somebody sees their time-traveled self, and they get all anxious about it and stuff. It's going to be funny. But anyway, that's the Nets. That's our rant on the Nets. It is 12:24. You are listening to The Pick and Slip. I'm Braden Pittman. Across from me is Gavin Miller. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Pick and Slip Show. On The Pick and Slip Show Twitter, I said that we will be talking about Indiana and if they should embrace the tank. Gavin, what are your thoughts?
All right, so talking about the Indiana Pacers, obviously we say this every single time. We're never going to stop saying it until it happens. Which means we may say this for the rest of our lives. Yes, they should tank, definitely. I don't really think I don't think this is a hard question. Right now, the Pacers tank. Right now are sitting in a 22-27 record. And we obviously Sabonis, Malcolm Brogdon, Caris LeVert. I mean, I don't think Sabonis is a player that can lead you to a ring. I don't think that he's that type of player. I think Sabonis is a great second option. I do think Sabonis is a great player.
I think Sabonis is a good European player. I think he'd be good in the China League. I think he needs out of the NBA. I don't like him. Get out of my, get out.
I think Sabonis is a good player. I think he's a good player.
He's a good player. He's not an NBA player, though. He does not play modern NBA basketball.
I think that he is a good second or third option.
I think that if you want to build a team that competes in this current era of basketball, you don't have Domantas Sabonis on the court.
Maybe
he's a sixth man.
I think that in this modern NBA, the way the Pacers have built their team is not going to win them a championship. The Pacers like to play like it's somewhat old school basketball, and they like to put back to the basket and try, you know, get down in the paint and be physical.
You want to know how many teams have won that? You know how many teams have won a ring playing that type of basketball since 2010?
Zero.
None of them. Zero for 10. And this year, you know what? You know who the top contenders are? The Jazz, the Suns, the Lakers, the Nets, the Bucks. You want to know how many of them don't shoot threes? They all shoot threes. A lot of them. And we shoot none. We shoot at most like 25 in a game. And I'm mad.
I think they need to rebuild. The problem with the Pacers is that they're a small market team. A lot of free agents aren't going to say, when they hit the free agency market, hey, I want to go play for the Pacers. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving, if he goes to free agency, Kevin Durant, if he goes to free agency, they're not going to say, I want to go play for the Pacers. They both went to New York. They both were in Oakland. They're both in California playing for the Warriors. KD did play for OKC, which, you know.
Right.
Smaller market team. But
you know, the real issue with us is that we won't just tank.
That too.
I'll tell you this. When we had Paul George, people wanted to come to Indiana. Mm-hmm. If you have Zion Williamson, people want to come to Indiana. People are going to want to play with Zion.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to want to play with LaMelo.
I agree.
Look at the Hornets. They've got Gordon Hayward, at least. Look at Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram down in New Orleans. New Orleans isn't that big, much bigger than us. What's another? OKC. They had Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and Paul George came. Carmelo Anthony came.
I agree.
You win games when you have good players, and we don't have good players.
I agree. And that's where it always comes into the fact that the Pacers need a superstar, or they need to tank and get a high draft pick and then make a nice selection. Kind of like how the Charlotte Hornets are doing right now. I mean, when's the last time I saw the Charlotte Hornets in the playoffs? I can't even remember.
2016, I think?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, it was when they had Kemba, and that was ages ago.
Now, if we look now, they're going to make the playoffs most likely. I mean, LaMelo's hurt right now, but they'll probably make the playoffs. Or you have Portland. What they did with Dame. The Pacers really need to do something like what Portland did. Portland was able to get Dame, and Portland is not a big... Portland's a small market, right?
Yeah.
And I remember Stephen A. said something along the lines of, if Damian Lillard wants to win, he's going to have to get out. He's going to have to go to a bigger market team. And the thing is, players should not have to leave their teams in order to win. It should not be a big market domination. That's not what it should be. Dame should be able to stay in Portland and should be able to make the finals and win a ring.
Yeah.
If you're a team like the Pacers, right? You should be able to have sign a player in free agency. You know, I mean, obviously they try. I'm not saying they don't try.
Yeah.
But the fact that, and there's nothing you can really do about it, because at the end of the day, it's what the players want to do. So there's no like fix to this problem. It's just something super annoying.
Yeah.
That it's all these big name players want to go to big market teams, right? And it's just really annoying. And like any time I feel like I hear a superstar's, you know, narrowing down his possible destinations of what team he's going to sign with the free agency, and there's always, I feel like,
L.A., New York.
L.A., the Knicks. The Knicks are always on. The Knicks are on there for every single superstar Chicago. I've ever heard in my entire life.
The Bulls are always the Lakers, one of them.
The Bulls, the Lakers.
And then after that short list, it becomes the teams with the best players. Cleveland was one of them. Miami, when LeBron was there. Yeah, you get good players from...
And the Pacers can't... One, the Pacers can never get a player because nobody really wants to go to Indiana. How did they get Paul George? Do you think Paul George signed with him in free agency? No. Paul George got picked, and then guess what? Paul George developed into the player he is now. They had Kawhi.
And then he wanted to get out of Indiana because we didn't give him any help.
They also could have got AD, but they traded their pick away.
We did give him help, but...
So, in reality, the Pacers could have had PG, Kawhi, and AD on the same team. They traded George Hill for Kawhi and right after they drafted him. Then they traded their pick and didn't get AD.
George Hill.
And... Yeah, and now that left with
we
Paul George.
George Hill.
Danny Green. And then a little bit later, you know, Paul George played shooting guard when he first came to the league because Danny Green was playing forward.
Everybody that was in L.A.
Yeah, we could have. We could have been the Indiana Lakers.
Man. So then let's look at the Pacers roster right now. I sorted by age. So we have Justin Holiday's 31. He's our only player over 30, which is good. Then Doug McDermott, Malcolm Brogdon, T.J. McConnell, Jeremy Lamb, all 28 and 29. That's getting up there when in like 3 or 4 years when we're hopefully contending, they will be past their prime. Malcolm Brogdon might actually still be able to play. T.J. McConnell might be able to, but I'd say get rid of Jeremy Lamb. I'd say get rid of T.J. Warren. Those are the type of players that are not going to be beneficial to your rebuild. Caris LeVert, keep him maybe. Domantas Sabonis, I've already said my views on him that I don't think that he is fit for the modern NBA. Then Miles Turner, he's 24, keep him, of course. Aaron Holiday, maybe get rid of him, just even though he's young, he's a good trade piece. But just my point is that we have these, our best players are these older guys that are not going to end up, like, we're not going to be contending in the next two seasons. And if we don't get rid of them, then we're letting them walk for nothing. Or we're just going to stay in mediocrity because they're good enough to keep us at the 8th seed. I don't know. It's just, I'm so upset with the Pacers.
Yeah. And I mean, once again, part of it is the Pacers' fault. I do think the Pacers need a tank. They need, I feel like the only hope the Pacers have right now is they just need to try and get a high draft pick and get another player that can develop into like what Paul George does, because the Pacers also haven't made it out of the second round since they had Paul George.
Yeah.
Paul George, Roy Hibbert, David West,
George
Hill. I don't
think we've made it to the second round.
Yeah, we haven't. They haven't made it to the second round. They've got put out in the first round since Paul George. Ever since Paul George left. And yeah. And I mean, Paul George was there for a while. Paul George was there for a while. He wasn't just there for two seasons. He was there for a while.
It was like six or something. Five or six.
He took that Miami Heat team to, I think, six games at one. Was it six and seven? I can't remember. I know it's six for sure.
A couple times. We took him to the Eastern Conference Finals twice and took him to six or seven.
That's what I'm saying. It was either six. I know one series was six. Maybe the other series was seven. I don't know. It was pretty close. And now that they don't have that player, and they haven't drafted another player that can develop into a superstar like that, we haven't seen the same level of success from the Pacers.
Yeah, and I mean, we haven't seen it from too many teams that haven't had that type of player, you know?
Yeah. Real fast, I did just see that Draymond and Kevin Durant, if you guys remember back then, this is the same season that Kevin Durant ended up leaving the Warriors. They played the Clippers in the first round, I'm pretty sure. This is before like Kawhi and PG. This is when PG last season on the Thunder and Kawhi's last season on the Raptors. I'm sure you guys remember Draymond and KD got into a little, I don't know if I'd say a fight, but I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about.
An argument.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. They end up speaking about it. I just saw it around, this was put out 34 minutes ago. It says that, this is Draymond, quoted. This is Draymond. I'm looking for him to pitch it back. I dribbled the ball off my foot looking for him and stuff went all wrong. Then that's Draymond. That's Draymond, the last play with KD that started their heated argument.
Yeah, basically what happened on the play, there was a missed shot by the other team. I forget who they are right now.
It's the Clippers.
Yeah, missed shot by the Clippers. Draymond and KD both go for the ball. Draymond comes up with it, dribbles down the court, falls down, loses the ball out of bounds.
And that's the end of regulation. That's, you know.
And then it went into overtime.
Yeah. And that's what happened. And now this is Kevin Durant's side of it. Kevin Durant said, I won in the moment. Draymond seen it in a different way. That was the clash. And that's KD on the play that sparked the argument.
Which so two different seems things. Like such a KD response. I wanted the moment instead of we need to win the game. That was Draymond being like, I'm going to grab the ball. I'm the best playmaker on the team. I'm going to find the open man. And then Kevin Durant saying, I wanted to hit the game winner.
I mean, I'd rather have KD shoot the game winner than Draymond Green. Draymond Green's whole, I really don't know what he was thinking, because he got the board, right? And so KD stepped back and is clapping for the ball in the backcourt, right? That's what most teams do. They dump the ball off to the best player on the team, right? Let him go to work. That's usually how it works, especially in a tied game. In a game where you have time.
Well, in that case, why didn't he give the ball to Steph?
I don't even think Steph was on the floor.
Was he? Check.
I just saw the clip. I don't think he was on the floor. I don't think he was on the court at all. I'm pretty sure it was KD, Draymond. And I'd still give the ball to KD over Steph.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm giving it to Steph.
I'm not giving the ball to Steph. I'm giving the ball to KD.
Steph's too good.
I trust KD as much as I would trust...
Two-time MVP, three rings.
I would trust...
Three rings.
KD as much as I would trust Dame to shoot the last shot.
And I'm trusting Steph more than I'm trusting Dame.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Dead serious.
How many game winners does Steph have as a player?
A million.
He has one against the Thunder.
Steph Curry is too good. Nobody in the league is coming close to Steph Curry. Ever. If I need a three to win the game, ball's in Curry's
hands. I'm giving it to Dame.
Here's my ranking. I got LeBron, Curry, Dame, KD. KD's not clutch like that. KD's not built like that. I got Kyrie under KD. Or no, I have Kyrie over KD.
I have Kyrie and KD there too. I think Kyrie, everyone knows about...
Kyrie's clutch.
Yeah, everyone knows about Kyrie and how clutch Kyrie is. But I'm trying to... This is a long list.
I know the truth.
This list is huge.
Steph Curry has never missed a game winner in his life. Steph Curry's the best...
When was this made?
NBA player to ever play. That's the truth.
Steph Curry isn't even on this list.
Oh, yeah? Well, guess what? Paul George doesn't hit game winners.
Yeah, I know Paul George doesn't hit game winners. He gets game winners hit on him. I know Paul George doesn't hit game winners.
That's just what goats do, though. You know, gotta let every.
You gotta let other players shine, though.
Yeah, Paul George is great at making other players look great.
Yeah,
he's like.
Yeah,
you always hear the best people make their teammates or opponents look good.
Yeah, that's Paul George.
Uh huh. Definitely.
If Paul George was trying, you know, because
Paul George was trying a lot,
he wouldn't hit it. But
they call him Lazy Paul.
Nobody.
Asleep at the wheel.
Nobody is gonna. Watch the games of Paul George just dominating the entire NBA.
If every game Paul George gave off 81, then Kobe wouldn't be special.
I mean, yes, LeBron is there, but if Paul George wanted to overthrow LeBron and be King George, he could do it.
They call him King George.
They do call him King George.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I call him that all the time.
Yeah. I mean, so do I. I mean, I'm pretty sure they started calling him that in, college.
Yeah.
Back at Fresno State, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, back when he would be dunking on people.
They called him,
you remember when they had the two covers of the Chosen One? One of them had Paul George, the other one had LeBron, and then the Paul George one kind of, faded into obscurity as Paul George just kind of gave the spotlight away to LeBron.
He just kind of handed it to him.
Yeah, he said, you know what, LeBron James, you're an old, old man, I'm just a boy. I'm going to let you have the spotlight for now. And,
wait until I get into the league. And now he's in the league. And, I mean, once again,
he's just letting LeBron.
He's signed with Nike right now.
You know.
I mean, it's the same thing as LeBron.
Here's the thing is that if you think about last year, when the Clippers blew that 3-1 lead. The reason that they did that is because Paul George didn't want to play LeBron. Because he knew, like, that even though he's lazy Paul, King George, like, he would still beat LeBron in the 1v1 on
probably
accident.
Probably would. Yeah, he would.
On accident.
And I mean, like...
And so, it, I mean, he couldn't risk that. So, yeah. Doc Rivers had to lose the game for
him. And the NBA also rigged it. I mean, to an extent. Probably. Like, I mean...
They're scared of Paul.
You can't let LeBron lose in the playoffs. You exactly. know what I mean? Like, his right. ratings will go down.
Right. And so, you had to give Jokic the robotic eye that he got that made it to where he doesn't miss threes.
Yeah.
And Jamal Murray, they gave him the ball with the magnet in it. That way, when he threw it, that it would go in the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So... And, I mean, even it's Paul George fair. Afterwards, he said they gave Murray the magnet ball. What am I supposed to do against the magnet mm-hmm. ball? Yeah, and that's
I mean,
what he said.
I mean, if you guys have seen, like, the original Space Jam, you guys know the Monstars that came down there and took all the superpowers off the players. They yeah, actually did that to Paul George,
and
right?
Kawhi.
And Kawhi. Yeah.
And Lou Williams. That's why they didn't give it back to also, Lou Williams.
They also
Look
took
him.
Doc Rivers' brain out of his head, too, yeah, for the entire out. Thing. You could tell.
Now that he's on the 76ers.
It was... clear as day that they took his brain out of his head.
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing
clear
there
that they took that back when the
and they never ate, still haven't given it back.
Yeah,
at least they gave Paul George's powers back. Crazy.
Yeah, it's been wild for the Clippers that they just had the whole league kind of conspiring against them like yeah. that.
And it's really all against Paul George too.
And I mean, Jordan sent the Monstars there because. Everybody knows that Paul George beat Michael Jordan in that 1v1 when
mm-hmm.
Paul George was 13.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan was like
that's why his jersey number is 13.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, if you guys didn't know that.
13,
yeah.
The age that I beat Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and his name was PG-13.
Yeah, because he
Paul,
was a kid.
Paul, and then last name's George, and yeah. then he beat Michael Jordan at 13 years old.
Uh-huh.
PG-13.
All right.
That's about what happened.
That's enough Paul George talk, huh?
Well, real fast, we really did that to lead into the fact that in the first quarter... of, I think, was it last night's game?
I think
two,
it was
two games
ago. Two nights
two
ago.
Two nights ago. I think it was two nights ago. Paul George dropped 22 points in the first quarter, ended up dropping 36 points to end the game on 11 for 18 shooting. It was a beautiful performance against the Portland Trailblazers. Dame, I don't know, I'm pretty sure he played, but Dame was not a top two scorer on the team, so it must have been a really bad game for Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
An off day. But... also, Kawhi, I believe, dropped 20-something points in that game as well. Clippers able to end up with the W for that game. And I believe that puts the Clippers in the third seed, if I'm not mistaken, in the West. I'm yeah. going to pull up the Western Conference standings real quick for you guys. If you look over, yeah, the Western Conference standings, that does put the Clippers in the third seed. And we have... the Jazz in the first seed, still at 38-13. We have the Suns in the second, 36-14. Then the Suns also in their last 10 are 9-1. I mean, the first four seeds are going crazy right now. I mean, the Jazz in their last 10 are 8-2. The Clippers are 8-2 in their last 10. The Nuggets are 8-2 in their last 10. Clippers being the third seed with a 34-18 record, just two games behind the Suns. Nuggets 33-18. The Lakers are now 4-6 in their last 10 with no LeBron and no AD. 36-19. The L's for the Lakers are slowly starting to creep up on them, not having any superstar. The Trailblazers are now 30-20. Mavericks hold the 7th. Grizzlies hold the 8th. Spurs 9th. Warriors 10th. And the Pelicans hold the 11th. See, I thought the Pelicans are doing better than that. I don't know. I don't know why. I thought that the Pelicans were doing a lot better than the 11th seed. But obviously, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I really thought they were doing a lot better. But if we go to the Eastern Conference now, the Nets hold the first seed one game above the Sixers. Sixers and Nets both have 16 losses. However, the Nets do have 36 wins compared to 35. They're 8-2 in their last 10. The 76ers, or as we just said, 35-16. They're 7-3. That one extra loss causing them the first seed. Then we move over three games below. The Bucks are in the third seed, 32-18. They were 6-4 in their last 10. The Hornets hold the fourth seed without LaMelo Ball at a 26-24 record. Then we'll go over. We have the Hawks in the fifth, sixth, Heat, seventh, Celtics, eighth, Knicks. And the Pacers are, even though the Pacers currently are 23-27, they picked up a W since the last time I checked the record.
Last night, TJ McConnell had a 15-point assist game off of the bench.
I think it was against the Timberwolves.
He's the first player since 1972 to have multiple of those type of games in a season. Mm.
Yeah, I did forget the Pacers beat the Timberwolves last night. I did forget about that.
Barely.
We
were up like 20 at halftime and still almost managed to lose.
Pacers have been doing that a lot this year.
Yeah, that's our thing.
And then, yeah, like I said, the Pacers are ninth. The Bulls sit at 10th, and then the Raptors. So, obviously, at the end of this year, the NBA kept the play-in tournament. I believe, Braden can correct me if I'm wrong on this, because Braden knows a lot more about the play-in tournament than I do. I believe it is the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th.
It's the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th.
7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th.
The 7 and the 10 will play, the 8 and 9 will play. And so then it'll be, I'm pretty sure that the team that's the lower seed has to win two games in a row, and the team that's the higher seed has to win one.
Okay.
So Boston will play Chicago two games. If Boston wins both, or if Boston wins just one game, then they're in the playoffs. Knicks will play Pacers. If the Knicks win one game, they're in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, because this is the first.
But also, season doesn't end for like
they did this in the bubble. But in the bubble, I'm pretty sure it was just one game. It was whichever team won that game was in it.
Yeah.
But this year, they're doing the lower seed has to win two in a row. The higher, lower seed, however you want to say that. If the ninth seed were playing the eighth seed, the eighth seed only have to win one, however you want to word that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that concept to me, I don't know if I like it that much. I feel like, you know, you play the regular season, that should determine how you, that should determine your eligibility for the playoffs. I do not think that if you are the 10th seed, you should get a chance to make it as the 8th seed when you are 2 seeds below. I mean, you had your chance in the regular season. You know what I mean?
I will say that that is true, but then at the same time, I think that this rule is exclusively made for the Western Conference, where there are 13 teams that belong in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, like, the Warriors right now are the 10 seed. You're going to tell me that Steph Curry, that they shouldn't give Steph Curry the opportunity to make the playoffs?
Well, yeah, I see where you're coming from. The West is way more competitive than the Eastern Conference. But
the Eastern Conference, like, no, the Pacers are the 9 seed. They aren't in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I understand what you're coming from. The Western Conference is extremely competitive, and there's a lot, you know, better teams in the Western Conference compared to the Eastern Conference. But, I mean, that, in my opinion, that's just the reality of it. That's just how it is. I mean, that's unfortunate, you know, that the Western Conference is extremely competitive, but at the end of the day, just because things get hard doesn't mean you should be granted another opportunity to, you know, make it. That's not, you know, that's kind of how it works. If things get hard, if things are becoming rough, I mean, it's not just a free pass. You know what I mean? It's not just a second chance button, and that's just kind of how I feel about it. But then again, I do understand that, you know, you have the Spurs in the 9th seed who are 24-25. Then if you go over to the Eastern Conference, a 24-25 record would put you in the almost in the playoffs in the East, would put you in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, considering the Hornets are only 26-24. That's it. Yeah. If the Hornets are 26-24, they are the 9th seed in the Western Conference. They're not in the playoffs. So if you think about it that way, yes, the 4th seed in the East is the 9th seed in the West.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, you know, that's... And I don't think they can really just put a play-in tournament for the Western Conference. That's why it's in both conferences, because, you know...
The thing, it's... I wish that they would get rid of conferences, but then at the same time, it'll make the travel more complicated, but then... I also don't care if the travel's more complicated because there are teams in the East that don't deserve to make the playoffs. You know? Like, as much as I see why it's the way that it is, that the Eastern Conference plays against the East, Western Conference plays against the West, or if you're in the West, you're in the West. But that way, when we're in the playoffs, New York and LA aren't going to play each other and have to fly 6 hours after every other game. But then at the same time, like, each team has a private jet now. I don't care. Maybe back in the 50s this made sense when people were going by steamboat across the country. But no, you have a private jet. You suck it up. You guys get paid millions of dollars if you have to deal with the jet lag. Sorry. Or even better for the league, they get to space out the games even more and have them be one playoff game a week and have their season take the entire year. Either way, the league shouldn't be complaining. Get rid of conferences. Pacers are not a playoff team. If you go just league-wide, the top 16 teams, then the Spurs are the only team with a negative record that would make the playoffs because they're the 16 seed.
I do think that if you got rid of conferences, it would be a lot more competitive because you said there would be only one team that would have a negative record, right? And then, you would see a lot more matchups that you would want to see in the playoffs. You'd probably see finals-level matchups in, like, the second round,
yeah,
in the first round. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, probably in the second round. You would see what would be conference final matchups.
Think about the 1 versus the 16 seed. That's Utah versus the Spurs. But then you look at the 8 versus 9. That's Lakers-Portland round 1. The 7 and 10... that's Milwaukee versus Dallas. That's a good matchup.
Yeah.
Like,
the only problem I see with that, aside from, like, you know, we talked about travel issues with that, it's if you eliminate conferences, not only are you changing travel, you're changing a lot of things in the NBA.
Yeah.
There's always been conferences.
I mean, when you just look at the amount of teams, it does really help to have it broken up into different parts, you know, if that makes it, like, to have there be two different divisions, you know, or, well, we have like 1,000 divisions, but nobody cares about divisions.
Not in the NBA.
But maybe if we split it up into like, no, because that would just compound the issue. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but
I another thing you have to, like I said, you have to change a lot of things. You have to change the format of the All-Star game. I mean, I guess now it's, you know, it's the best players from the East, the best players from, well, it was. Now they draft.
But you are still getting the top, you players. Still pick the players from the East,
yeah,
and West.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
But then it is a draft.
Yeah.
That way the All-Star game is.
They would have to change that. I mean, that can't be a thing because now there will be no East and West. It will just be, you know, the top teams in the NBA. So they had to change that. And,
excuse me.
There's, you know, other things that have changed. There's just, the NBA has never not had conferences. And like you said, you'd have to find a way to just organize it. And travel is another big thing we talked about. Like, what will the NBA ever not stop having? They'll probably always have conferences. The NBA will most likely always have conferences for the rest of basketball. It's just, it's the easiest way to do things.
Yeah.
And the only way that this will change is if the Eastern Conference gets better.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know.
Here's the thing, is that you look at where the places are in the Eastern Conference, and it's like Indiana, Ohio.
Yeah.
Like, all these places that people do not want to move to play professional basketball.
Yeah, and that goes back to, like, the big market thing and how, like, that idea is so dumb.
Detroit.
That the fact that, like, all the big markets are on the West Coast, you know what I mean? Los Angeles, Oakland, California. You have two LA teams. Let's think about two Los Angeles teams. You have the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers.
Everybody wants to live in Los Angeles.
You have two whole teams dedicated to Los Angeles.
And think about these teams.
And they're both great teams.
Who are your options to pick from? In the East, you can go to Brooklyn or New York. That's New York. Brooklyn and New York are both New York teams.
Yep.
Philadelphia, big city, right? You have Atlanta. Everybody likes Atlanta. Boston's but Chicago, Toronto's cool. And then the rest. Orlando, Detroit, Washington, D.C. You have Indiana, Miami, I forgot to mention before. People want to live there. Charlotte and Milwaukee. Those are the teams. Not to throw any shade. And then you want to, what's the lamest in the West? Like Minnesota or OKC? Every other team is in Memphis, I guess.
Yeah, because if you do go down the list, and this is like no shade to these places, obviously, you know, but
I mean, we live in Indiana.
Yeah,
and like you it's, know, it's just not.
It's not.
You compare it to LA or New York.
Yeah, we lost. Yeah, going through it. I mean, OKC, Minnesota. You have Houston. You have New Orleans. New Orleans is actually a cool place. Oakland. You have Oakland, California. What's it called? No, you have California, which is the Warriors. Then you have San Antonio.
There's four,
Dallas,
four teams in California.
Two Los Angeles teams, Phoenix, like all these nice places, and a lot of them, they're nice place, big market teams. Like I said, just and a lot of this goes back to the fact that big market teams are just overruling at this point. I mean, if you're a big market team, it's almost like you're bound at some point to be gifted a superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, and at this point, yes, New York, you can use New York as an example to show that they haven't had one since Carmelo. But, do you think New York is...
We haven't gotten a Carmelo for free anytime soon.
I mean,
somebody was just like, I want to play in Indianapolis.
I mean, like, do you genuinely think that the Knicks aren't going to... genuinely do not think that the Knicks are going to get a superstar or someone's not going to want to go play in New York?
Players have already said that.
Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Knicks are already on the come up right now just from drafting and having young talent and making good moves.
I mean, look at Chicago. They were the number one destination for Anthony Davis besides Los Angeles to re-sign with LeBron. It was either be with LeBron or go back to his hometown of Chicago. You know? And just like, people want to go to Miami just because they have beaches. I'm just jealous of teams that have good commodities that people want to come see.
It's really unfortunate.
It just comes from jealousy, really.
It does, and it's just unfortunate because these smaller market teams really are going to make their big money in the draft.
Yeah, and
that's a risk, too.
Would you blame the owner of the Pacers if they left Indiana and went to, like, I don't know, what's another big city?
Well, you might as well use Los Angeles.
If they just added another LA team. What if they just moved every team to LA?
It's like, you can add another team to Phoenix.
Just add eight teams to LA.
Like,
just have California own the whole NBA.
It's crazy.
It is 12:57. You are listening to the Pick and Slip Show. I am Braden Pittman. Across from me is Gavin Miller. We talk about NBA basketball.
Yep, that's what we do around here.
That is what we do.
Talk about basketball. The goods and bads of NBA basketball.
Lots of bads.
I knew he was going to say that. I knew he was going to say that.
I will say, just my closing thought, Milwaukee is the 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that them at the 3 seed now is better than they were, for them at least, better to be the 3 seed than it was for them to be the 1 seed the last 2 seasons. Because now they don't have the expectation. They failed twice in the second round. Now, if Milwaukee... Like, now they're the underdogs, you know? And when you're a team as talented as they are, being the underdog is a great thing.
I agree.
Especially when the Brooklyn Nets are super villains, and you are the underdog with Giannis. You know? You have Giannis Antetokounmpo, possibly the best player in the league, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday... And now you are not that you don't have the target on your back. So I could see Milwaukee making a run now that they don't. I mean, like, first round they're facing Miami. I know who I'm taking in that series. I know Miami beat them last year, but they didn't have Giannis. They didn't have half their team, and I don't know. I'm taking healthy Giannis, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton over Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Victor Oladipo.
That sounds like good. This sounds like a good series, though.
No, it would. That it's going to 6.
Sounds like a really good series.
Yeah, no, that would be fun to watch.
I feel like that game more revolves around supporting cast. Supporting cast is going to be better?
Yeah,
you know which supporting cast is going to step up more.
I'm excited to see the matchup of like Brooke Lopez trading shots with Tyler Herro down the stretch.
Yeah, that sounds. That's kind of weird to say, but I mean, at the end of the day, what it's going to be.
That's going to be the exciting part is when you're like, Dante DiVincenzo, oh my God. Or just, oh my, Kendrick Nunn, did he really just do that?
Yeah.
Did Kendrick Nunn get, who got traded for? Or no, they, okay, also, Victor Oladipo was stolen. The Rockets he got was. Nothing. It was like Kelly Olynyk and a second round pick. Why'd you do that?
I don't know. I mean, the Houston, I don't know.
Is that I bet that Miami was the last team to call at 2:59 on the day and said, Victor Oladipo's going to walk in free agency. You can take Kelly Olynyk in a second now, or you get nothing. And so they had to let him walk.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Because, I mean, there weren't too many other teams that wanted Victor Oladipo, you know? Like, I bet the Lakers called and were like, give me Talen Horton Tucker, you know? And I bet they said, no, we're not doing that. But, yeah, I don't know. It just...
I agree. I know you're coming from, and I mean, I do agree that...
That was a robbery.
Yeah. And, I mean, like I said, a lot of that's probably credited due to the fact that he called so late and was like, you know, either you're going to have to... You're gonna have to either give Victor Oladipo for us for what we offer, or you're not going to get anything, and he's going to sign with someone in free agency.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But here's the thing, is that also... They got to say, and he's going to sign with us in free agency. Because Victor Oladipo already said, I'm going to Miami. You know? So, like, it's they're saying, either we get him, you guys can get him now, or we can get him now, and you can take Kelly Olynyk and this pick, or we can just take him anyway after this season. Which... Maybe I'm just petty, but if I was Houston, I would have been like, we'll keep him.
well, make him wait.
Yeah, you'd be like, you know what? Nah. Or
put him in the G League, and now he has no option. Or put him in the D League, and now he has no options. He can't go to the Heat. He's stuck.
Or just send him to, like, Minnesota. Just trade him to Minnesota for, like, next season's first round pick. It's like, here you go, take him. We don't want him, and we don't want Miami to have him.
Dang, that would be really petty if they did something like that. Like that would.
That'd be hilarious.
That'd be extremely.
You are listening
petty.
To WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis.
And I mean, I don't think I really have too much to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's been a pretty uneventful 2 weeks. Like besides the trade deadline, there hasn't been really any like NBA controversies for us to talk about. But. I'm getting hyped for the playoffs. It's starting to get to that time where there's like 15 games left. We have like a month left before we really start kicking in the playoffs. Yep. I'm excited for it.
I can't wait for Paul George to finally get his ring.
He's going to get 2.
This year. He should get like 5.
Yeah. They're going to just give him 1 for every season he's played.
They might as well just give him every
season. You know what? You've been the MVP every season. He owns Michael Jordan's rings now.
I need him to get a ring. I can't. Paul George cannot be like a Carmelo Anthony.
He's not going to be.
He needs a ring.
Well,
me.
Carmelo's about to win a ring this season as well with Portland.
Oh.
Yeah. Portland added Norman Powell. That team's stacked now.
Braden just said Portland's winning a ring. There's no going back on that now.
I'm not going back. Portland all day, baby.
Portland's winning a ring.
Damian Lillard's grabbing that ring. CJ McCollum. Yusuf Nurkic. Carmelo Anthony, Norman Powell, Gary Trent played over half the season. He'll still get a ring, even though he's on the Raptors. He had a game winner. Shout out to Gary Trent.
Well, you guys heard it there. Brandon said Portland's going to win, but that is all for today. Thank you guys so much for listening. This will go up as a podcast on Audioboom. If you guys want to listen to it, you guys know to check it out. Check out any missed episodes. But yeah, that's all from me and Brandon. Thank you guys so much for listening, and peace.